Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the 8-Bit Adventures Podcast. This is episode 264. I am your host, Sean Hayes, and I am here to bring you the latest and greatest geeky news of the week. So, as I said last week, this is going to be a Multiverse of Madness spoiler cast. So if you just want to get the gaming news, deep dive is going to be on Doctor Strange. So if you haven't seen it yet, I'll let you know when the deep dive is coming, so that way you can bounce out and come back and listen to it when you've actually seen Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. So that you'll be able to fully absorb the commentary that I have. I hope everyone's doing well. I'm still recovering from everything. I actually need to probably call my doctor's office next week. Stuff's taking a little longer than usual to recover from. Just a little bit concerned. Just run down. I'm still able to get stuff done, but still feeling run down. So to the point that I'm awfully suspicious. I wonder, were those tests, the home tests that I took, actually accurate? For COVID. But I guess there's a bunch of stuff that's just lingering, lately that's going around, among schools and daycares and stuff. So who knows? But yeah. So aside from that, we saw Doctor Strange, and then got to play D&D over the weekend. That was nice. And was able to get some comic work done. So, why don't we get into the quickfire news for this week? We've got a lot of trouble brewing with the news this week. So, why don't we get into that first? All right, so first up, another week, another round of Activision Blizzard pulling shenanigans. Once again, they sent out what was a very thinly veiled union busting effort as an email sent to all the staff, sort of around the same time that they unveiled this really weird and problematic, quote, diversity game tool for, it sounds like Overwatch, as a way to quote, promote, diversity in character designs. But the way it does this is it assigns diversity points to character traits and then rates how diverse, quote unquote, a given character is based on the number of traits and their score. There's so many questions that are involved with this. Who's deciding on the values? How is this being utilized? Does anybody actually pay attention to the fact that a lot of this stuff isn't quantifiable, and basically just screams what a lot of opponents of diversity have, which is diversity initiatives we're just doing this just to tick off checkboxes and not actually thinking about what it means to have a diverse cast of characters. And so this character is not diverse enough. Let's, retroactively assign some traits to improve the diversity score. Blizzard, this is... Why? So yeah. Plus it also feels a bit tokenizing. And nobody, I have not seen any support whatsoever in favor of this tool, and just a lot of groups like looking at it and going, no, this isn't it. This is not great. This is a nightmare. It's a dystopian nightmare. So, yay, Blizzard. Once again, doing everything it can to keep me away from resubscribing for Warcraft. All right, next up. Kingdom Hearts. Patch 1.03 for the Switch Cloud version was released, introducing a performance graphics priority toggle. So, sort of like your PC, you can essentially like switch it to focus on performance, which means it will reduce your graphics quality so that you get better frame rate, or graphics, in which case it will reduce your frame rate to give you a better looking experience. Here's the other part. Pop-ups to let you... Pop-ups to let you know if server congestion is going to affect your play experience adversely. Now, mind you, these are single player games. And so apparently Square Enix is having problems with server congestion. I can't. And part of the issue is, like, if they really wanted to put in the work, most of these could have been ported, like offline ported, and maybe like three would have been the only one for that needed to be streamed. It's a nightmare. So you pay full price for a game, for a single player game. And if you happen to just log in at the wrong time, you'll get a pop-up that says, like, sorry, you can't play. Our servers are too full. Like, Kingdom Hearts is not an MMO, folks. Like, all the stuff that we talk about with, like, MMO launch day and, like, expect servers to be down and everything. That's an argument to be made for that genre of game. Because there's just too many people trying to access it because, like, that's just how the game works. That's how the architecture works. For a single player game that should be available offline. Not great. So you could end up paying, you know, $60 for this package and then not be able to play any of it. So good on you, Square Enix. But let's focus on cryptocurrency, right? All right. Next up, we got a trailer for She-Hulk Attorney at Law. Trailer released for the upcoming Marvel series on Disney Plus, starring Tatiana Maslany. Where we do see one Bruce Banner. Sort of helping his cousin sort of navigate Hulk powers, essentially. Meanwhile being essentially like an attorney for like an attorney specifically for superpowered individuals. So it's got a little, you know, there's a little bit like of that Marvel campiness to it. I think will serve it well. I really enjoy Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk, especially like in later iterations of him. Where like, now that he's come to terms with things and that he's not just, like, you know, sad Banner, angry Hulk. You know, like, I basically ever since Thor Ragnarok, I think he's become such a great character. So yeah, hopefully being able to mesh sort of that characterization in with the rest of the series. And like, I knew Banner was going to be in there at some point or whatever, but it was still nice to see that. So yeah, I'm really excited. Like, I'm also excited to see what they do as far as exploring, like, law regarding, you know, superpowered individuals. So, I didn't write down the date. When? August 17th, 2022 is the release date for that. Thank you, Google. Next up, Nintendo. Nintendo. Saudi Arabia's public investment fund has acquired just over a 5% stake in Nintendo as a company. For those who don't know, the public investment fund is an investment initiative basically Saudi Arabia is using sort of their very deep pockets to invest in essentially like media companies, like video game companies, movie companies, and things like that as an ownership stake, to help like boost its public image. It is, presumed, by, human rights activists and several journalists to be part of a propaganda campaign that is designed to sort of sweep Saudi Arabia's human rights record under the rug. So we'll see. And, you know, additionally, we'll see if this has any effect on business decisions being made by Nintendo. You know, they also have an ownership stake in like Capcom, SNK, you know, the several Hollywood studios. So we'll see. But also related to Nintendo, former NOA president Reggie Fils-Aimé, while promoting his new book, obviously questions have come up, what his thoughts are on all of the sort of recent discussion and claims from former temp employees about their treatment at NOA. And basically his reaction is that he's kind of shocked at the workplace reports, and that it's sort of not the NOA he left behind and not what his legacy is. Despite the fact that many of the reports would have been while he was still in charge. So, yeah, whether it's sort of intentionally misleading, or if, you know, basically being president of the company, Reggie was shielded via bureaucracy from a lot of that stuff happening. Unclear. But, you know, pointing to things like there were company lunches or whatever where, like, everybody in the company was invited to, like, come speak with him and stuff. But pointing out by folks that it was in an area where you needed a badge to get to and temp employees didn't necessarily have a badge. So whether it was an oversight or intentional, unclear. So yeah, was, you know, one of the places where I heard was an interview with IGN on Nintendo Voice Chat, their Nintendo podcast, And kind of when he said that, you know, and was like, you know, well, and you know, I've been out of the game for 3 years, so I don't know what's been happening nowadays, but it wasn't like that when I was there. And it's like, since one of the reports that I saw was from 8 years ago. So doesn't exactly line up. And it's like, you know, everybody loves Reggie, you know, as a meme essentially, but, yeah. And in addition, there's apparently an internal memo from Doug Bowser to the rest of the company, sort of, kind of sidestepping the issue. But the company has not yet addressed the National Labor Relations Board, filing. So, we'll see what comes of that. You know, despite being a Nintendo fan, I promised that I would follow this closely. So anytime there's something new that comes up, rest assured, I will bring it up. So, because if, you know, if we're going to hold Activision Blizzard accountable for being terrible, you know, if somebody else does it, you know, and turns out, things not that great there, we need to do the same. So. And once again, unionization solves a lot of these problems. Just throwing that opinion out there. So yeah. That is going to wrap up our quick fire news for this week. So this is going to start our deep dive for Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. So if you haven't seen it, here's your warning. You know, you're always welcome to come back and check out the podcast later if you don't want to be spoiled. But I will go into spoilers for this. So giving you the warning now and in the title, it's on the title of the stream, spoiler cast. So there we go. Fair enough warning. All right. In 3, 2, 1. Okay. So, I really enjoyed this film. I don't know. So I say that. I don't think it's a film my wife and I are going to watch all that often. there's a couple Marvel. We kind of talked about this. There's like certain Marvel films where like we see it and we're like, we're good. And like, even if we enjoy it, it's like, I don't know if I want to watch it again, as opposed to things like Thor Ragnarok, where it's like, you know, it just feels like it constantly runs in the background in our house. So I liked it. I think it had a lot of really great, interesting concepts running through it. It had some great cameos. I think the visual effects were great. I think it was a very tragic storyline. I will say right now, you know, sometimes with Marvel movies, like if they're PG-13, they kind of skew in the lower end and like they're okay for younger kids. This is not one of those films. So if you are a parent of younger kids and you think like, you know, it's Doctor Strange, you know, it's a Marvel movie, like we'll go take them to see it. This kind of like it's PG-13. And like. There are. You know, like language wise, like it doesn't push any boundaries or whatever, but it's like sort of content and theme wise, it is a lot darker than a lot of the other Marvel films. To the point that I don't know how to describe it. Like I would be very cautious of, you know, maybe like certain 13-year-olds, I might even say like, there were points when, I was scared watching this film. It's one of the things where I've heard like discussion of like the difference between horror and terror. And it's like, I think it's one of the things where, like, if it's known, like, you know what's coming after you and you're scared anyway, like, then it's terror. But if you don't necessarily know, it's horror. There is definitely terror going on in this film. And it's and there's also a lot of cosmic horror going on. But it also, like, because it picks up from WandaVision, we also deal with themes of sort of grieving over the loss of children. You know, Wanda, you know, we find Wanda's still in the headspace of she has not gotten over what happened in the events of WandaVision. And a little weird that like Vision is like mentioned once, but like we know that there's another Vision out there, and kind of just doesn't like not brought up at all. Like not even talked about. I thought that was a bit weird. It was a little bit of a plot hole for me. Is just like it would have made more sense for him to show up. But when like obviously not. So unless that Vision is also still having a crisis of identity and like who am I and how do I fit in this world? It was, you know, it was interesting to see sort of a multiverse concept explored. I was certain they were gonna have the Doctor Strange from the What If series, the one that like was melded with all the various creatures. And they didn't. You know, I thought for certain, like in the trailers we saw him. And it turns out, no, it was either regular Doctor Strange just using new forms of magic that like summon monsters, I guess. Not really talked about that before. Or it's one of his alternate versions where he's just corrupted, but he's not corrupted by the same forces. As a, you know, as a D&D fan, kind of really enjoyed the fact that there's sort of a Book of Vile Darkness, Book of Exalted Deeds thing going on. The fact that one of the things that I really enjoy, and this is like a very minor thing in the film, right, is Sam Raimi directed it. So they got Bruce Campbell to do like a bit cameo as like a hot dog vendor in one of the, you know, in an alternate dimension. I can't remember which Earth it was. It's not 616, which is the main one. And they actually call it out, which was fun. It's the one in which the Illuminati shows up, who end up sort of being a minor antagonistic force. And that's where we see in the trailer how we see sort of some familiar faces and we wonder who is this? That's the Illuminati. Which is also like a Marvel concept that they kind of was really fun to play around with. And the fact that we got to see Reed Richards and Professor X again, you know, before they were really kind of brutally killed off. But Bruce Campbell being a hot dog vendor in that universe. And I didn't realize it during the film that it was Bruce Campbell, but Strange like does some sort of curse or enchantment on him where then like his hand basically like becomes hostile and like tries to slap him and punch him and stuff. So he's fighting with his hand. Which they then the second sort of end credit scene that they do comes back to him, and he's like still fighting with the hand, and then it stops, and he's like, "It's over." Then it dawned on me, and I was like, "Oh, this is an Evil Dead joke," and it, you know, an Army of Darkness joke and everything. I thought that was great. You know, I love seeing little things like that, just little nods and stuff, like when it's a director. So yeah. And you know, like there were plenty of moments where there was like little quips and funny moments because it's a Marvel film. But still overall very dark. You know, and it kind of you know, Wanda basically has this whole arc of that we see in the Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy, you know, the joke of like, you know, you die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain sort of a thing. And as cliched and tropey as that is, like, that is what is happening to Wanda, is that she is turning into a monster and she is in denial about that until she is forced to confront it. And then when she does, you know, that sort of, you know, starts her redemption, but she like absolutely has to be forced to confront that. And a little traumatically at that, because, before she reaches that point, it is very much leaning into sort of a lot of themes from Evil Dead, which, and you know, like that style of film is like Sam Raimi's thing. It's 616 Wanda basically possesses her alternate universe self. And like, you know, because that Wanda hasn't become the Scarlet Witch and like isn't, you know, this all powerful sorceress and everything. And like isn't prepared, you know, is just like suddenly possessed and everything, you know, ends up getting, you know, pretty injured. And so she's being puppeted around like a zombie. And there are moments like when we see, you know, either inside her psyche or when 616 Wanda manifests through, is like demonic and zombie like. You know, and when we see like when Wanda's being controlled, you know, her eyes glow red. And so sort of has this, you know, horrifying. There are many moments in which like the lighting was like very low, stark, almost, you know, dim lighting, and just like the red eyes sort of showing up and this figure shambling behind them, just so focused. And because it's not her body, it's like another Wanda's body. She doesn't care what happens to it. And so it is very much giving hardcore zombie vibes, but now also with full on magical powers, which that is, I mean, essentially, you know, zombie sorcerers are sort of like liches. And there's a lot of that we see in this film. Since later Strange basically possesses another universe's version of him's corpse. And so is sort of doing the same thing, and doing like weird necromancy stuff. It like really hit home sort of the themes that, like I actually kind of appreciate it because it allowed the themes of why we fear zombies and the undead in general, without going to like very blatantly undead, but also like without the gore that you typically see in, you know, things like The Walking Dead. Like I can't do gore. But it was just like this relentlessness. Actually, you know what it really reminded me of is the Terminator. Is just like the red eyes and just the relentless nature, and like there is nothing going to stop this person. since, you know, Wanda can just bend, change reality on a whim. And the only reason, the only limit to her powers is like her concentration or her level of control. And like the more flustered she gets is like the less control she's able to do. And like, you know, basically doesn't think to do things or isn't able to maintain her concentration to do magical effects. So yeah. And just the relentlessness that she has, and it's, I am going, like, I understand now that I am quite possibly the most powerful being in the multiverse, and I will not stop until I reach this goal. That is a very cosmic horror sort of thing. And like we talk about, you know, elder god type stuff of like, you know, the unknowable entities, who their designs are inscrutable and they're malevolent and things. But like, this is a mortal person who has that power, who has the power to reshape reality on a whim, and says, and like has undergone a trauma and says like, there is a solution to fix this, and I'm going to stop at absolutely nothing to fix it. Like, no matter what the cost is to everyone around me. And like, that is, I think, more terrifying and horrifying than just sort of this, like, you know, far realm entity that lives at the edge of time and space and like is unknowable to humans, because like it's unknowable, like we can't fathom it. And like if you try and fathom it, like ultimately it's an exercise in futility because you can't. Whereas like this is knowable. And so, you know, the other thing being Strange having to essentially commit the same faults as other Stranges that led to their corruption in order to stop her. Is that, you know, try to do everything right and it didn't work. And so had to resort to using essentially, I forget what they called it, but essentially the Book of Vile Darkness to defeat Wanda. A pretty interesting factor. Also, set it up. Apparently, we're going to get another Doctor Strange film. Doing something with some woman who essentially like has like blades or something that can tear holes in reality. She tears open a hole that goes to Dormammu's realm. So who knows? Oh, geez. Let's see. What are some other things? It was really neat, to see Wong's, sort of style of magic and, using sort of the threads of magic that they do, essentially as rope. Like, we kind of see it a little bit. We didn't see it as much in this movie because Strange often focused on like conjuring things, or doing other like more flashy, unusual effects than we saw in previous films. So it was nice to see that. I would have liked to have seen Professor X live. You know, Reed Richards, you know, I don't care as much, although him getting turned into spaghetti was hard to watch. And just the rest of the Illuminati, like, ugh, brutal. But it would have been nice if Professor X had, you know, like, if it was just, he just makes it out and, like, we never hear from him again. Like, but yeah, just this scene of him entering Wanda's psyche, of the possessed Wanda's psyche, and trying to help her out. And just this red mist, like some sort of vampiric mist just showing up, and like the sense of dread, like, you know what's coming in that. And the fact that, like, he was still willing to try and get Wanda, to try and save her right up until the very last moment when this really sort of grotesque lich Wanda lashes out at the mist and kills him. That was like I knew it was coming, and it wasn't a jump scare really. But it was like how she appeared was terrifying. Because it was like, and it's not a jump scare in that, like, that, you know, they didn't do like the you know, the violin chord and the horns and stuff to, like, also, you know, do like an auditory make you jump. And like you were expecting it. Cause like they led to that moment and you're like, oh no, he's gonna get it. Like, and that's gonna be it. But it was just like such a shock as to how monstrous she looked. That was the shocking part. So yeah. And you know, on a more positive note, the fact that we got to see Wanda's kids again, and that there are multiverses in which, like, they're real, like, they're not constructs, you know, and they're still hanging out and everything. That was kind of nice. That was nice to see. So that, who knows, given that the multiverse is the new thing, like, we may see them in the future. Again, a little bit of a plot hole that, like, Vision wasn't there. It was just one of those things where, like, Wanda featured so much in this film that not having Vision anywhere felt a little out of place. And I don't know if that was just, like, then we're dealing with too many, like, superheroes. Because, you know, we'd have Doctor Strange, we'd have Wong, we'd have America, who's the new sort of dimensional punching multiverse gal. You know, we've got Wanda. They mention Spider-Man. you know, we've got Captain Carter. You know, Reed Richards, Professor X, Black Bolt. That universe is Captain Marvel. I'm trying to think of if there were any other. I don't think there were any other superheroes explicitly, you know, brought in. Plenty of wizards, plenty of sorcerers, I should say. Really want to know what's going on. There was a Minotaur sorcerer. Really want to know what's going on with him. And, like, it was the only one. Just one. You know, no other unusual type of sorcerer. Everyone else was human. And it was like I really want to know that guy's story. Sorry. See, what are some other thoughts? I mean, so all in all, like, you know, there were times when it felt a little disjointed, and then it moved a little fast. But again, you know, that happens a lot in Marvel films. And I think, like, it was definitely, like, the lead-up saying was, like, this is going to be a dark Marvel film. This is going to be, like, sort of a horror take. And I think, you know, if you're used to sort of, you know, like, slasher films or stuff like Evil or Night of the Living Dead or Evil Dead and things like that, you know, you might be like, ah, well, you know, this isn't really horror, but there's definitely a lot of the similar themes, and you can definitely inspirations in there. You know, that if it doesn't count as outright horror, there are definitely themes of cosmic horror and dark fantasy in there. If you're a parent who, actually, that's a good point, is I told everybody, if you haven't seen it already, not to listen to this part. But yeah, I don't know if you have friends that are parents that think about taking their kids, like, there's some pretty heavy themes in there. And you know, there might be some scary imagery. I mean, the whole sequence in which Strange, like, goes to possess his own corpse, in order to, like, make it back to 616 Earth, and is then hounded by the spirits of the dead, and tried to, be taken to their realm, which, unclear as to what that realm is, like, unclear if, like, it's meant to be sort of like the underworld, or a Hades that is not also the underworld, or what. It was just like a void filled with nothing but these, like, wraith-like spirits, that were just endlessly clawing. Like, that is, that's a pretty scary image. You know, was sort of reminiscent to the Dead Marshes in Return of the King. And just instead of, you know, sort of the ghostly effects that they did, was just like more of creatures made out of darkness. And, you know, just like slick darkness. So, like, there was some reflections and stuff so that you could see them as they were clawing and tearing and things. But, like, very, very similar vibes. Yeah. Whew. Also, if the type of ghost from, that's like Samara from The Ring kind of freaks you out, there is a sequence, again, yeah, explaining it to people that have already seen the film, like, that sequence was like, oh, like, Wanda going through the reflections, I was like, oh, gee, like, they're pulling in all sorts of, like, ghost zombie type tropes here and everything, of, like, she unnaturally comes through and is, like, moving jerkily, and then, like, reconfigures herself so that she's back in, like, a normal position, was just like, I mean, I suppose, like, if you can bend reality to your will, like, you could just bend yourself to your will and keep yourself alive, sort of a thing, and, like, going through a mirror dimension. But, like, the thought of, like, they go to trap Wanda in the mirror dimension and she figures out that she can get through reflections, and now suddenly it's like anything that's reflecting, she could reach through and get you. Again, it's one of those things where, like, it's a little, like, because it happens during, like, an action sequence, like, it's more, like, exhilarating, but, like, the more you think about it, it's like, that is scary. And it's one of those where it's when you're able to digest it more fully and, like, really think about the implications of how powerful Wanda is and how she figures stuff out and how she's able to counteract stuff. Really, really terrifying. Like, more terrifying than Thanos with the Infinity Gauntlet, I think. Because, like, he had a very singular goal and he was just like, oh, yeah, no, just poof, and people are gone. Like, but he was, you know, also doing it in like as merciful of a way as he tried to, so that it was just like they just disappear. Whereas like Wanda is no holds barred and going to do whatever she can and like not be merciful like that. I enjoyed it. And again, I think there's a lot of the sequences are very, like, I don't think it's as visually impressive as the first Doctor Strange film, but I think there's a lot of really great effects that they do and a lot of great sequences that they do, particularly, sort of the musical fight sequence, which, by the way, there is a sort of musical action game in development right now, from an indie developer, kind of thinks that maybe they stole his idea. It's also like, it's kind of a generic idea. But it was one of those, you know, like the project went viral on TikTok, got retweeted to and reshared to like a bunch of, you know, Disney and Marvel executives, sort of a thing. So there's like, you know, the actual statement is I wouldn't be surprised if they copied it. Not really pushing it any further than that. That said, you know, that doesn't mean that a certain website that reported on it kind of took the story, ran with it, and embellished on it a little bit, and took their own spin, which the dev isn't happy about. You know, it's like the idea is just taking musical notes and turning them into projectiles that when they hit things, you know, sound off the note that they were on the sheet music. And so then it creates like musical effects as they're fighting. Again, that's a little bit of a generic thing. But that was a very visually interesting sequence. A lot of folks were confused by it. Like, and it was, I guess, a last minute addition. I think it just highlights like the weird stuff that you can do with magic. I think personally I would have preferred if that Strange was the sort of, you know, I've fused with X number of interdimensional monsters to fuel my quest for power help, but you know, that's just me. You know, and again, like, and I've said it twice now before, but the lack of vision was just an odd choice. Even just like mentioning like, hey, you know, where is Vision? Like we heard, you know, or even just being like, we heard something weird happened, you know, during that whole incident, like, unless like nobody else knows that there's another Vision alive. So, I would say, you know, if you're a Doctor Strange fan, go see it. Just keep that stuff in mind. It's darker, definitely a lot of horror themes and everything. So, keep that in mind. It's not as lighthearted as other Marvel films. You know, I would say if you want to see the conclusion of Wanda's arc, is as far as we know, this is it for Wanda. You know, and I don't know how I feel about that. You know, I think like, yeah, she sort of sacrificed herself as a redemption thing. But I don't know if it was just like a, you know, sort of a Darth Vader type thing of, I realize now I've done all these horrible, terrible things, and the only way to redeem myself is through death, through heroic sacrifice. But like, I don't, like, I can't continue on. And I don't know. I guess like at a certain point, you know, I could see the fact that, you know, Wanda doesn't really feel like she fits in anymore. Like that everything was taken away from her and that she's had a hard time adjusting and just can't. Which is sad, you know? I mean, ultimately it means that systems that we have in place failed her. Almost like that's a message. Yeah. And also, it's strange developing a third eye is just creepy. I don't like it. It also means that, like, I mean, I guess there's a message there too of like, if you use bad methods to do the right thing, like there's going to be consequences, or the message would be, then you should be prepared for the consequences of those, of your methodology. Since essentially it was like, you know, like the book causes corruption and there's no escaping that. And, you know, supposedly the third eye is representative of that. But whether like it's actually corruption or if it's just, we don't know. or if it's just something weird that happens. Like if it's just a chaotic thing that happens as opposed to an evil thing. They don't really make it very clear. So, those are sort of my thoughts. It's funny. The big thing I really wanted to talk about was just the Bruce Campbell hand attacking him thing. It's like, oh, that's just Evil Dead. I was very excited to talk to my wife about that. She was just looking at me because she's not familiar with it. It's a little bit before her time. And she was just like, you were so weird. But yeah, Army of Darkness fans is stick around for that. And I guess we'll see what's happening in the future with Doctor Strange. So that is going to wrap up our deep dive. So we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with Questlog. So, last week's goals were to finish coloring Chapter 1 comics and to catalog 2 decks worth of Magic the Gathering cards in the spreadsheet that I have to catalog my collection. Not only did I catalog all of the decks of cards, I managed to do it, of course, before... I ended up making a bunch of changes to the deck, so now I have to go back and, like, figure out what cards changed and edit those things. I did, in fact, manage to get both comics colored. Which means, folks, all 100 Chapter 1 comics have been colored now. That is a huge, huge milestone. Which means that I can now begin paginating. Which I have already started, and I've gotten about 50, somewhere between 50 to 60 comics paginated, which is very easy because it's just opening an InDesign template and then just like placing the comics on there, because all I need to do is drop them in. I don't have to reset any text or anything. They just all get dropped in as images, and then it's just placing them on the page. And then once they're all done, it's then sort of filling out the rest of the book. So yeah, it's kind of hit it like it just, I honestly, it's felt like this day would never come a lot of times. So on to the next step, which brings me to the goals for this week, which is to paginate chapter one, which I think will be very easy to do since most of the comics are already on the pages already. And then it's to figure out like little interesting things to do with the pages. So I, you know, some of the things might be like there's some, you know, space at the bottom of the page of maybe doing like panoramic bleeds, of just landscapes, you know, or doing, writer's notes and things like that. But to basically get all the comics on the paper or in the book, that's the goal. Then once I have that, it'll be adding the extra stuff, but that'll be future goals. And then just play Triangle Strategy. Honestly, I haven't played any Switch games. I've barely played any games, period. I've been so tired and just trying to get stuff done. I haven't been playing a lot of games, honestly. So just try and play something, and get back into that, because I'm not going to be streaming it anymore. And I kind of want to see where it goes. You know, I like Triangle Strategy. Even when it's, you know, like three parts dialogue, one part actually playing the game. So, yeah. So that is going to wrap up this week's episode of the 8-Bit Adventures podcast. This is episode 264. Multiverse of Madness spoiler cast. So, thank you for joining me. If you would like to see more content from 8-Bit Adventures, you can check out the website over at 8-bitadventures.com. If you would like to help support content like the podcasts, the comic, and all that stuff, please consider becoming a patron over at patreon.com/8bitadventures. Patrons can get benefits for as little as $1 a month. I charge monthly and not by per content upload. Patrons get early access to the comic. They get exclusive patrons only comics. And they get some behind the scenes content, just from a sort of, D&D game design perspective. Of just, you know, some ideas that I have, for D&D, you know, that I don't share publicly. So, you get all those benefits, for as little as $1 a month. I want to give a big shout out and thank you to all of the current patrons. Thank you very much for your continued support. Just thank you. Our opening theme is One Up by Professor Shy Guy. You can find his work over at ProfessorShyGuy.bandcamp.com. So go check out his work. Give him some support. He's a great guy. And that, dear listeners, is going to wrap up this episode. So, as always, have fun, happy gaming, and enjoy your pie cake.